Good morning, and welcome to worship here at St Andrew's. You are all very welcome. Our gathering words are inside the order of service. The journey of faith takes us through many stages: childlike faith, conventional wisdom, and beyond. We find along the way questions forming in our minds. What? Why? How? Our thinking grows and changes, we grow and change too. Today, we reflect on how thinking changes, and with it, our world. Welcome here today. It's one of the first sunny days we've had for a long time, and it seems to promise to be sunny for the whole day, so I hope later you'll be able to get out and enjoy that. It's good to have you here this morning. I'm not going to talk about rugby or anything like that this morning. Suffice to say that heart attacks were almost had, and it's only a game. Kia ora tātou. After the service, there's morning tea at the back. Do stay and have a more extended chat with us. We'd love to talk further with you, so do be here. Today is a special service because Margaret Rushbrook is going to tell us how her thinking has changed over time. Earlier in the year, three retired ministers did that. But it's a little more challenging, I think, for a layperson to do that, and I think Margaret's extremely brave, and I hope you'll tell her so afterwards. She's quite clear that she's speaking for herself, and this is her journey. She's telling you about her journey. She doesn't expect everyone else to follow her on her journey in exactly the same way. So this is how her thinking has changed, and we're very grateful that she's here doing that for us. So let us pray. As we come into the space which many people have sat in over decades, for more than 100 years, seeking all sorts of things, seeking solace, seeking stimulation, seeking answers to questions, seeking a company of like minds. And we are conscious as we sit here that we are the latest in a long line of such people for whom we give thanks, For they asked and questioned, they carried the torch, they have passed it on. And so in this moment today, we take some silence to let go what has been pressing upon us during the week or even this morning, and for us to clear our minds so that we can arrive here and be present. We give thanks for all that we have been given. We let go that which worries and annoys and upsets and hurts us. And we bring ourselves with open hearts and minds to what might happen in the next few minutes. So may it be. Amen. And we say together from the order of service a world prayer. We are birthed from energy and stardust, flung into the world with all the glory of the power that is love. May we creatively furnish the world with grace and love, beauty and justice. May our actions together provide what the world needs. May we share with others what we have produced so all can grow and flourish. May the knots which bind us be unravelled as we release ourselves and others from the tangle of past mistakes. May we remain true to purpose, alert to all the possibilities of such a time as this. In all we do, may faith, hope, and love abide, the greatest of these being love. So may that be. Now, I've got a rainbow candle here. My goodness, what do you think we should do with this? Do you know? Perhaps you'd like to come, Alex, and tell me what to do with this rainbow candle? The rainbow candle represents, of course, including everybody, and that includes children. Here you go. Light the taper. Is that what you do with it? You light the candle. Well done. Excellent. Now, if you come and sit down here, Margaret's going to tell you the story today. And there are some other children out there who might not know that we have a story with children sitting in the front row if they're brave enough. Anyone else like to come? Duncan, do you want to bring your child? No? Okay, there's some people coming. You've got to be careful, you know. It's lovely to have you all here today. Where's Jess? Is Jess here? Where's Jess?
Well, good morning. My name's Margaret, but to some of you, I'm actually Gran. Today we've got the theme of how our thinking changes, and I've got a few things here that I want to share with you. The first is this. I like this. It's a map. It's actually a map of what? The world. And it's quite flat, isn't it, this map? And once upon a time, people thought that the world was flat. However, we know that the world actually, now we know it's round, don't we? And look at this amazing picture taken from space of our round Earth. Don't you think that's absolutely amazing? What we look like. There we go. I want to think briefly, so people's thinking changed there. I want to think briefly of the things that make up our world. And of course, some of them I've got here. What's this? Dirt, or I'm going to use a word beginning with S. It is. Soil, yes, okay. A lot of this, you know, it takes ages and ages even to get that much soil growing. So what I'm going to be saying is that we need to look after these things. I've got two things here like this. What is it? water. Well, why have I got two? Why have I got two of them? What do you think this is? It's clear water. It is. What makes it different from this one, though? Well, in a way, maybe. They're still probably not too bad as far as clearness goes. There's something else special about it. Okay, Tessa, you might know. Where did we get this from? Where did we get that lot from? Te Tahi Bay. Sea water. Okay? So here we've got fresh water, and here we've got sea water. Very important, because look at all this water that's going on around the earth in here. See all that blue that's there? See, we need to look after that. We've got other things that make up our world. We've got trees, flowers, grass. You know about all these. We've got birds. We've got fish and big things like whales and octopus and stuff that swim in the sea. Actually, that looks like a tree, doesn't it, that one? It's actually a bird. What sort of bird might it be?
A peacock.
Ah, good one. Yes, that's right. And, of course, we've got animals. Some of them are wild and some of them are domesticated. That's right. Which one's the one that we farm?
Yeah,
and the sheep, thank you, yes. And we've got a lot of these on in our world too. Uh-huh, that's right. Do you know, though, I've got another picture here. What do you reckon about this one here? It's the world. What's happening to it? It's being killed. Good word, yeah. It's being damaged. Yes, it really is. And when we've woken up to that fact now, that some of the things that we've done to our world, we shouldn't be doing to our world, and therefore, today's message, our thinking has changed, and this is one of my favourite pictures. I like it. It's the world. Do you like that picture? What do you like about it?
It's the world not being damaged.
That's right. How can you tell? What's going on?
He's hugging it, not hurting
it. Great. Hugging it, not hurting it. Look at the size of those arms there. You out there, you've got this picture on your front of your order of service. Look at the look on the face of that person. That's right. That's the same one. Loving, caring, being kind to the world. So our thinking has really changed for that. Now, to conclude this little time together, I need you to help me because we're going to sing. Okay? And we're going to sing. How many of us are here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. We're going to sing, actually, Hugging the Earth. Would you like that one? Would you like to hug that as we sing? Thank you. Yeah, here you go. You've got one there. Good, thank you. Would you like this one here? Would you like this one here? We've all got look, it's just a little one left. Okay, a little one left. Okay, but somebody might like to hold on to that. Do you want to hold on to that? Or maybe during the second verse of this, we can swap. We can share them, yes. But somebody can hold on to that if you like. That's the world. You've got the world on your hands. Okay, right, so of course that's what we're going to be singing now, and I definitely need, oh no, but I want you to be doing this. Ah, good, like that, because it's loving, kindness and caring. So we're all going to sing, the adults are going to sing too. We've got the whole world in our hands, and we're going to have, for the second verse, I'm just making these words up because I actually like them. We've got the whole world in our hands. 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 Now, the second verse is, we're going to love and care for it. Yes, we are. We're going to love and care for it. Yes, we are. We're going to love and care for it. Yes, we are. We're going to love and care for this world. Okay? Do you think you'll remember that? Hey, I just have to tell you that I only lent you those things. All right? I'm sorry. I'd like them back. Thank you. Now, remember the things that you're loving and caring about, seawater, fresh water, soil. I didn't ask you what was in this one.
Nothing.
Are you sure?
Air.
Air. Thank you. So we need to look after the air as well. The trees, the flowers, the plants, the fish, and people. Who do you think that person could be that's holding in that picture, that's holding the earth? I was going to think of another word, actually. I was going to say Jesus. Could represent that Jesus did, because he really looked after people when he was working in Galilee, didn't he? He really looked after people. Who else could it be?
God!
How about us? What are you reckon about us? We've just sung that. Thank you. Shall we join together with our prayer? Pardon? Oh, yeah, well, there we go.
We'll take them upstairs.
Okay, thank you.
How about we all stand up, make a circle, and we're ready to bless you on your way to the Rainbow Room. Today it's going to be Roger and Colma, with all these lovely young children. So, we send you to the Rainbow Room to hear stories, ask questions, and have fun. And we all say, we bless you.
We bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
And the adults will pass the peace. We usually do this enthusiastically, so do not be afraid.
In 2008... the Canberra Affirmation was written, and it's a fairly long statement which seeks to set out some of the things that progressive Christians felt they still wanted to affirm, even though there were some other things they no longer wished to affirm. George Stewart kind of broke up that affirmation and set it to different well-known hymn tunes, and for the rest of the service, those are the hymns we're going to be singing. The first one we've put in between the readings today, and so we'll be led through in singing those between the readings by Valerie.
We sing. Bible, Psalm 133, a song of ascent of David. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For their blessing is bestowed, even life forevermore.
Amen.
gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 to 28. Jesus changes his mind. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Contemporary reading is from With or Without God by Greta Vosper. What the world needs in order to survive and thrive is the radical simplicity that lies at the core of Christianity and so many other faiths and systems of thought. An abiding trust in the way of love as expressed in just and compassionate living. Out of the multitudes of understandings of religion, spirituality, and faith, out of the countless individual experiences of what might be called divine, out of it all may be distilled a core that, very simply put, is love. This core message carries its own authority. It needs no doctrine to validate it, no external expert of supernatural authority to tell us it is right. Love is quite demanding enough as a foundation, sufficiently complex and challenging without the requirement of additional beliefs, unbelievable to many. The church the future needs is one of people gathering to share and recommit themselves to loving relationships with themselves, their families, the wider community, and the planet. Such a church need not fear the discoveries of science, history, archaeology, psychology, or literature. It will only be enhanced by such discoveries. Such a church need not avoid the implications of critical thinking for its message. It will only become more effective. Such a church need not cling to and justify a particular source for its authority. It will draw on the wisdom of the ages and challenging divisive and destructive barriers. Such a church, grown out of values that transcend personal security, self-interest, and well-being, could play a role in the future that is not only viable, but radically transformative and desperately needed. Wisdom and in Scripture, for the wisdom among us, for the wisdom within us, we give thanks.
Vivian, might be an idea to switch the organ off during the reflection. Our organ needs restoring, and if you hear that little hum, that's why it needs restoring. Now, Margaret.
My hope is that my words and thoughts will resonate positively in some way for each person here today. How my thinking has changed. I have, of course, had to be very selective. I'm sharing as a layperson who has been in the Presbyterian Church since being in my mother's womb. I was brought up in a theologically liberal family, but encountered fundamentalism, conservatism, and evangelical thinking as a teenager, and later when living for 18 years in the Bible Belt of New Zealand, the Bay of Plenty. As a youngster, I heard Bible stories and learned a few Bible passages, some of the Catechism and the Apostles' Creed. I read the Bible daily at bedtime, along with reciting verse 1 of Jesus, tender shepherd, hear me, bless this little lamb tonight. Every Sunday evening, my mother read to me. It had to be a Bible story first, and then it was into my favourites like Anne of Green Gables. Yay. I belonged to Sunday school, Busy Bees, Girls' Life Brigade, the Christian Temperance Movement, and later really enjoyed the stimulation of the many and varied Bible class activities. At high school, my parents encouraged attendance at SCM, not Crusaders. There was lots of church attendance where hymns and prayers were directed to a supernatural God out there who created the world, was all present, all knowing, all powerful, and intervened in human lives. Sin and an afterlife heaven pervaded the hymns, 99% of which were 18th and 19th century origin. The Bible, very important, was the inspired word of God, not the inerrant truth. I had several copies and was excited when the first new translation came out. I quickly ditched the King James Version. I puzzled over how Jesus, a man back in biblical days, could be present now and be talked to, dear Jesus, and how the word Jesus seemed interchangeable with the word God. Christ was the surname for Jesus the man. The word Lord was used a lot. Most of the guest speakers at Easter camp stressed that Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins. No mention that he was a threat to the power structures of the time. I felt uncomfortably pressured at Easter camps by calls to come to the front and give my life to Jesus. Not my style. Bodily resurrection was a given, but now, for me, it means starting over, new chances. The Easter camp I got most out of had the theme, "Were you there when they crucified Jesus?" I decided fairly early on that reference to the blood and body of Jesus during communicant members only communion was symbolic. I still ponder on a quote from teenage years, "How odd of God to choose the Jews." During my year in the United States as a teenager, my peer group was obsessed with the doctrine of predestination, which up to that point had not been on my radar, and it's not now either. I got a lot out of the inspiring national youth conferences, including my late husband Bill. Of course, as a child, I accepted ideas that I was fed. Much seeped in off the walls. As a teenager and into my 20s, I worked quite hard to find out and try to believe what I was supposed to believe. And to that end, I carried around J.M. Bates' A Manual of Doctrine. Dipping into it again now, my thinking has changed. That school year in the United States was my first introduction to a mix of faiths existing side by side in society. Our high school observed both Christian and Jewish religious holidays. This raised questions about whether people of other world faiths worship the same God as Christians did. I began to question that I, as a Christian, had the truth, maybe only partial truth. Increasingly over time, I've appreciated that truth is relative, depending on who, what, when, and where. I do think an important skill in life is to be able to stand in the shoes of others. My mid-20s saw the ecumenical movement gaining impetus. We were encouraged to meet together in interfaith discussion groups in local communities. Wow, I was in the same group as some Roman Catholics, and I found they were people. What a challenge to the fierce denominationalism I'd obviously been brought up in. Today, just look at the variety of denominational backgrounds within our own parish here of St. Andrews. In my late 20s, I spent a lot of time thinking about what was the meaning of life. The Catechism's man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever wasn't resonating for me. Much better was a study booklet focused on interactions Jesus had with people, with the theme of new beginnings, which has since become a catchphrase for me. About the time of having our first baby, I met up with comments like, "What a wonderful gift from God," as if God out there had given us this baby, but I found myself thinking, well, didn't Bill and I have something to do with all this? It didn't lessen my awe and wonder and gratitude that Bill and I, not God, had created this amazing little human being. When I returned to teaching geography and social studies, after my children were all at school, I reignited my interest in the natural processes at work in our world, evolution, and the new to me idea of plate tectonics, not taught when I went through university. What with that new knowledge and experiences like tramping the Tongariro Crossing, gazing out from on top of that raw volcanic environment, feeling such an infinitesimal part of the universe, oh, the feelings of awe and wonder, not directed towards the traditional creator God, I realized, but awe and wonder at the amazing natural processes at work. The evolution of language, ideas, and culture is fascinating to me too. I value how our understandings of religion, the Bible, spirituality, and so on have been enhanced by those things mentioned in the contemporary reading. Science, history, archaeology, psychology, along with all the biblical scholarship of the last couple of centuries. I actually wish I knew a bit more about psychology. Shortly before we moved from Rotorua to Wellington in the early 1990s, I experienced a crisis point. The parish we attended was going even more conservative. The flavour of the language and thinking in a Sunday worship service was judgmental, hierarchical, patriarchal, militaristic, God out there, me as a sinner, Satan and the devil, heaven and hell, personal salvation, archaic language, endless repetition of choruses, and starting the same repetition with singing selected hymns. Not my sort of thinking. I got so worked up after one morning service that I felt physically ill. It was about that time that a friend referred me to Matthew Fox's book, Original Blessing, hence the insert in today's order of service. Have a read of it. Needless to say, with great relief, I aligned with the right-hand column and began to breathe again. A significant aha event occurred for me once when someone opted out of even contemplating taking any action on some now forgotten social issue by saying, "That's over to God. You don't mix politics with religion." Warmth. It really hit home as never before that it's human hands, mine, ours, that are needed. The so-called God's hands are my hands. You will have recognised this part of my thinking through the children's talk today. A motivating quote for me has been, "I am only one, but I am one," when it comes to hands-on action in the big issues like Springbok tour, nuclear and peace issues, racism in New Zealand, the move to biculturalism, women's issues, LGBTQI issues. My thinking certainly was stretched and changed as my awareness was raised about all these issues. One is never the same after awareness raising. Have you noticed? These were issues entailing human responsibility. I'm grateful to church involvement for moving me along in these things. A few biblical passages have loomed up along my faith journey and illustrate changes in my thinking. I was brought up on frequent references to the Genesis 1 creation story and thus absorbed without questioning the verse that humans were made in God's image. But I now think that humans made God in their image, which included attributing to God many enduring and universal values they'd worked out, like love, compassion, justice, forgiveness, righteous anger, and more. Mostly life-enhancing values, but some doubtful ones in the Old Testament. I also took for granted that anthropocentric verse that suggested humans subdue, dominate, rule, exploit the earth. Now, of course, I think we are to use the earth in a sustainable way. I really value and am thankful for the Māori concept of kaitiakitanga, garden guardianship, a gift to Aotearoa New Zealand. Again, from Genesis 1, I was brought up on the original sin, women are temptresses version of the Adam and Eve story. Now I relate to the second century interpretation which Susan shared with us of the Adam and Eve story, and it was to do with serpents being known as symbols of transformation. Do you remember it? The serpent's invitation to the original pair can be seen as a challenge to let go of childish innocence, to refuse to live unconsciously in an eternal paradise, to grow up, have the courage to know what is good and what is wrong, and act accordingly. Thanks, Susan. Were you brought up on the urgency of go, therefore, and make disciples? I haven't time to develop this, but suffice to say that I grew increasingly reluctant to be involved in blatant evangelical outreach, partly due to my personality, maybe, and partly because I feel it's a bit arrogant. I prefer to just be me and be there. If someone wants to be a part of that, great. With hindsight, I now feel bad about missionary work being so entangled with colonisation, and I'm more conscious of the need for cultural sensitivity. Love your neighbour as yourself. For years, this seemed to be read as love your neighbour as yourself. Then the emphasis began to change. Love your neighbour as yourself. What a lot of unlearning and relearning had to take place after years of trying to put oneself last and down. It was hard to see having higher self-esteem as a positive. Be still and know that I am God, from Psalms, taken a bit in isolation, methinks. But it has resonated for me, particularly in times of illness. The change is that I no longer focus on the God part, but rather the be still, calm down, take things one step at a time. I'm loved and supported by those around me, and I have inner resources to dig down deep for. Live in the moment. Live in a spirit of gratitude towards things around me. Think positively. Think about those things that bring a smile. Be still. Breathe deeply. Relax. Meditate. Free my intuitive spirituality. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in their midst, words attributed to Jesus. I no longer think of Jesus being present, but when I'm together with others, especially like-minded people, I sure experience the release of some sort of spirit, energy, life, inspiration, empowerment, encouragement. Links in with the reading from Psalm 133 today, perhaps. How very good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity, for their blessing is bestowed, life forevermore. A brief reference to the New Testament reading for today. Didn't you like that example of Jesus changing his thinking? He was challenged by someone outside the Jewish faith community that he was working within. An indigenous Canaanite woman from a polytheistic background, a person the Israelites were not to fraternize with. Currently, I'm experiencing what I did at the time of the feminist movement, when women began to interpret the Bible from women's perspectives. Feminine qualities were added to God's characteristics, and we were changing to inclusive language. Many of us spent much of the Sunday service doing on-the-spot mental gymnastics, translating and changing what was before us, to express where we were at in our thinking and to feel more included and empowered. So what is it that I'm experiencing similarly now? Despite all the redefinitions and makeovers of the concept of God, it's an inescapable fact that for so many people today, both inside and outside the church, when the God word is used, their immediate ingrained understanding is the traditional, out there, supernatural, creator of the universe, intervening, authoritative God figure. This is reinforced when we continue to address God as a person and attribute everything to God. The most significant change for me in the last few years is my growing inability to cope with language that continues to suggest that God is a supernatural creator of the universe, intervening being out there. I find personified God language most unhelpful. For me, that includes adding in feminine words like mother to God, because that is still personification. On the other hand, I feel inspired, liberated, empowered, and come alive when the alternative, insightful today language is used, language not referring to God as a person, and it's used in hymns, affirmations, prayers, communion, baptism, leadership vows of commitment, and so on. Non-God person language is what reaches right inside me and moves me. It cancels out the need for mental gymnastics. I want to reflect on and act out my Christian faith with integrity in this 21st century without working overtime translating. For me, referring to the Jesus way is good. I find the use of the word godness okay. I quite like the idea of the word God with a small g being used as a verb. The mind boggles. As the contemporary reading said, love is the core message. Love carries its own authority. And you can read more. Removing authority figure God person talk puts the responsibility firmly back on me for relating in a positive, loving way towards myself, others, and the earth. Many of my aha click into place realizations or changes in thinking have come from the sort of people I have listened to and the books I have chosen to read. Liberal progressive ministers, groups that I still attend, like the Ephesus group, which explores new ways of understanding and expressing Christian faith in secular New Zealand in the 21st century. Authors such as Lloyd, who's here today, John Spong, Karen Armstrong, Marcus Borg, Ian Harris, journalist, and who's also here today, and more recently, Canadian Greta Vosper, both as a visiting speaker and author of With or Without God, Why the Way We Live is More Important Than What We Believe. And her second book, Amen, What Prayer Can Mean in a World Beyond Belief. Development and changes in my thinking have been traumatic and isolating at times, especially out in the provinces in the initial stages. I've experienced sadness, a bereftness. The challenge now is, how do I express things spiritually? But oh, the relief to find I'm not alone. There are others thinking similarly, right here in this faith community of St. Andrews, the Ephesus group, Sea of Faith, and out there amongst many who have left the church. So where to now? More changes in my thinking, no doubt. Of one thing I am sure, I want to be doing this within the context of faith communities.
thank you very much for that. Margaret has given us a gift, and we now bring our gifts of money for the work of this place, here and beyond these walls, and also food for the food bank. Your offerings will be received. We give thanks for all that we have been given in terms of money and food, and so we bring back some of that today to gift the money to this community so that we may continue the work we have pledged ourselves to do, and also food for those who might need it more than we do. And so we bring both these gifts, praying that they will be used well for the purpose for which they have been given, and that those who receive may be blessed. So may it be. Amen. If anyone has notices to give, would you like to come up to the front? I've got a few to begin proceedings. Those of you who know David and Frances Robinson will be saddened to hear that Frances died on Friday night or early Saturday morning. And I went to see David yesterday at their home. We're hoping that the funeral will be here on Saturday. We just need to rearrange some of the bookings. But that's Frances Robinson. Don't feel bad if you don't know her. They came a few times about a couple of months ago, but they were part of this congregation earlier. Lynn Dovey left for an extended overseas trip on Saturday, and we hope that she has a good time. And to help her to have a good time, if you're on any committees or things that she's on an email list for, would you please delete her from the email list while she's overseas? She wants this. We're not just cutting her off, you know, and maintaining radio silence, but so that she can fully rest and recuperate and have a good time on holiday, just check your emails as you do them and don't copy her in. Now, if you want the kind of help that Lynn gives while she's away, there are several people. There's myself, there's Paul Barber, if your question is financial. There are Andrew Matthew and Douglas Wood are in the kind of building facilities area, and there's the office. And so Letitia could direct your inquiry to where it needs to go. So we hope she has a good time. I'd like to thank the people that helped organise and were at the newcomers' night on Friday. We had a good time. And any of you who are newcomers here and you think, wonder how you connect into this place, we have a welcome pack at the back. And you're very welcome to talk to me or Linda Wilkins or any friendly face, and they'll refer you on to someone if they don't have the knowledge you need. On October the 1st, we're going to have a welcome newcomers period in the church service, so that if anyone wishes to make a connection, my motto is everyone belongs, you choose how you connect. So if you want to choose to connect in a particular way, then October the 1st is when we're going to do that. And it would be good if you talked to me before that. I want to say to you, unfortunately, that we need to take care with security, and don't, like I do, leave your handbags lying around. And I'd like to introduce you to this. It's a teapot. We've had two teapots disappear one by one over the last 6 months, and we have just replaced them with two brand new ones. They must be locked in the pantry cupboard after morning tea, please. Not left in an ordinary cupboard. Now we know they're apparently a desirable item to some people. They are also not inexpensive, and this is a unicorn. This is the last one of this type in New Zealand, apparently. So we'll put it in a place of honour. We're going to engrave and paint them so that they are identifiably ours. But that applies to a lot of things around the place that you might think other people might like to have. We're running a kind of a tightrope between being locked up like Fort Knox so no one can get at anything, and being open and generous the way we want to be. And somewhere in the middle, there's a kind of a wise way to do that, and we're trying to find out what that is. In the study group after church, this might be relevant to teapots going missing. We're going to talk about undecided justice and look at the difference between distributive and retributive justice. So you may be interested in that at 11:45 up in conference room 1. Okay, anyone else?
Hello, I'm Pat Booth, a member of this parish. I want to say thank you
to Margaret for a huge gift she's given, but also to particularly comment on her children's talk, because I went to Al Gore's latest movie last night, an inconvenient sequel, Truth to Power, which is a film made 10 years after he made his first well-known film, An Inconvenient Truth, about the environment. It is quite hard work, like Margaret's work for what you said today. Well worth, quite inspiring, but also he makes the point that Margaret made. I'm only one person, but I am one. I have only one vote, but I have one vote. And so this is an appeal from me to go and see the film, but also vote.
I'm Maxine Cunningham, and I have some cakes at the back of the church, which are examples of what will be produced later on by a group of volunteers. There's a volunteer sheet. I have lots of volunteers, thank you, but I'd like some more. Order forms too. Think about who you're going to give Christmas cakes to. And they order forms for those will be out shortly. Thanks.
Prayers of the people. At this time, on a personal level, we bring to mind with thankfulness those things for which we are grateful from this past week. Our accomplishments, the connections we have made, enrichment that has come from being in community with others, happy times in our relationships, times of insight, times of creativity, spiritual moments, spring flowers that are blooming, other special things that come to mind. For all these things, we are thankful. We think also of times this past week when we've experienced difficult situations, disappointments, frustrations, when we feel we have fallen short, when we have said or done things that may have been thoughtless or hurtful. In acknowledging and releasing these things, may we feel strengthened and positive and move forward into the coming week in the spirit of new beginnings, ready to offer our best to the situations we find ourselves in. Reflecting on today's theme, as our thinking grows and changes, sometimes way beyond where we ever imagined it would, may we honour what was, grieve if necessary, and let go to make room for something new to be born. At the national level, we look to becoming more fully informed about current social and political issues in this lead up to elections. And we look to seriously reflecting on the values that show that people and the environment matter. The values that will help determine our vote. In this time of need for so many in New Zealand, may genuine, caring concern abound. At the global level today, we think of actions we can take to show love, care, and kindness to our planet Earth and its inhabitants. We think of places where human actions have brought division, hate, fear.
where tensions exist between people, resulting in violence or the threat of it. Places where natural disasters have brought heartache, death, and damage to people and their property. Places that are war zone areas. May we put effort into seeking ways that we can help progress healthy shalom solutions and offer practical support. From the book today, we pray for the passing of Marshall Island leader de Boom. May his work on climate change and a nuclear-free world continue. We pray for the people of Texas. May they be spared the extremes of the storm. In our circle of prayer today, we think of the people of Burkina Faso and the Association of Evangelical Reformed Churches of Burkina Faso. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Paul Goldsmith and Joanne Hayes, List MPs. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Opanaki Cooperating Church. We join now in the prayer for a 21st century church printed in the order of service, a prayer for what we are seeking to be here at St Andrew's. If you're visiting today from another parish, you may like to make this prayer a prayer for your parish also. Together, in this sacred place and this special city, for such a time as this, we are church. We constantly need renewal. Our life requires energizing by a spirit of love and unity with those who follow Jesus' way and with all people. We yearn that this community and the city in which we live are places where honesty and integrity dwell, where government is open and forward-looking, beauty of all kinds is encouraged, and compassion for all is our default position. May this faith community work courageously to effect change. May our actions follow our intentions. And may our belief in justice and peace, inclusion and compassion be the strong impulse of both our reflection and our work. So may it be.
Thank you.
we are, teapot and all, ready for morning tea and a chance to continue our conversation together. And as you go out of here, a chance for you to continue to allow your thinking to change. And be assured that as you do that, love surrounds you every moment of every day.